Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law Hour and the Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Ten Commandment Model when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. And we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, wouldn't you agree? Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is in order to suffer from its effects. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we're talking about the Ten Commandment Model. Now, this Ten Commandment Model has been around for thousands of years, and there are two models or world views of government, the Ten Commandment Model and the Ten Plank Model. And they encompass rights, duties, capacities, and responsibilities. The Ten Commandment Model deals with social duties, with economic capacity, your political capacity, your business rights, your monetary capacity, your property rights, your educational duties, your health responsibilities, your moral duties, and your legal responsibilities. Well, that's what the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto do. They also deal with social duties and economic capacity and political capacity, your business rights, your monetary capacity, your property rights, your educational duties, your health responsibilities, your moral duties, and your legal responsibilities. But these two world models or worldview models are exactly the opposite to one another. Exact mirror opposites. and you get a result that comes from them. You know, when you practice communism, you'll get a result. You'll get to stand in line and share the shortage. When you practice the Ten Commandment model, you don't stand in line and you have an abundance. That's been the historical experience now. We've been testing these, you know, for thousands of years. Now, you'll notice that people want to come to the United States of America. God, they just want to get the hell out of Uganda and come to America. They want to leave Haiti and Dominican Republic and South America and Mexico. They want to come to America. Why? Well, because when we deal with these things like social duties and economic capacity, we find that we have more here. There's more physical goods here. There's more freedoms here. That's why the Ten Commandment model is called the perfect law of liberty. That's what God calls it, the perfect law of liberty. Well, the Ten Commandment model of liberty has a lot going for it, I don't deny it. But it doesn't have as much going for it as does the Ten Commandment model. Now, the Ten Commandment model is preferred by more people than the Ten Commandment model. But it doesn't produce nearly as much economic wealth and benefits for the majority of people. The 10-plank model produces a lot of economic benefits. I don't deny it. But it doesn't produce as many economic benefits for as many people. It produces a lot of benefits for bankers and businessmen and government officials. The government bureaucracy loves communism, socialism, fascism, so on, because they get more out of it than anybody else. And so it really devolves upon the beneficiary. You know, if we take a look at the economic crisis, as they call it here in the United States now, they want to have these stimulus packages. They want the taxpayers of America to put out $700-800 billion and give it to the banks. God, I would love it. If I was a banker, I would say, God, that's a hell of a neat deal. Yes, that's great. I want all of you taxpayers out there to send me $700 billion. Hell, I'll go along with that right now. I like that kind of program. Would you all send me $100 right now? All you people out there listening to me right now. Just run in and take a $100 bill, stick it in an envelope, and send it to George Gordon, Post Office Box 297, Isabella, Missouri. I think that's a hell of a good idea. I don't think it's a very good plan for you. I don't think it's going to benefit you in any way, but it's sure going to benefit me, and I'll like it. 100 of you people who send me $100 will really benefit me. It won't benefit any of you 100 people out there, one nickel. It will depreciate your living standard by $100. But it's going to increase my living standard by $10,000. Communism benefits a few people at the expense of the many. The lottery benefits a few people at the expense of the many. And if that's the system that you want to participate in, well, get after it. You've got it. This is Nirvana. This is Shangri-La. You've reached heaven. This is utopia. You're there. You've arrived. Stick with it. Don't deviate. Now, if you're not happy with this program, if you're the guy that, and it's one thing, you know, for me to say, send me $100, but your government didn't ask you. They just told you, this is what we've done, and you're going to pay the bill. This is what you need, and here's what we're going to do. These are the people that need your money, and we're going to give your money to them. They've already made that decision for you. They did it for you. They acted as your guardian, and they treated you like a ward. Now, let's ask the question, well, then why is God so upset about this? What is it that's ticking him off? And I think that it's rejection. I think when the bottom line comes forward, he identifies himself as somebody that's ticked off because of rejection. Let me read that to you. It's in Exodus chapter 34, and it starts in verse 17. Exodus 34, 10 through 17. And he kind of tells us, you know, what his thinking is. He says here, "Behold, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Before all of your people, I'll do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Eternal. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with you." I mean, this guy comes right out and says, what I am going to do is a terrible thing. Terrible. Terrorist. Terrorists do terrible things. Could this God be a terrorist? He goes on and says, "Observe thou, you," that is you, "observe you, that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now take heed to yourself." Pay attention. "Lest you make a covenant, lest you make an agreement, a contract, a treaty with the inhabitants of this land, whither you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For you shall worship no other god, for the Eternal, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call unto you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons to go a-whoring after their gods. You shall make you no molten gods." Now this God, this creator God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over here, a little different breed of cat than the average Joe Sixpack God that most of us are used to. This God says he's a jealous God. Jealous. You ever think about jealousy? That's where you went over to Bobby Jones' birthday party and I didn't get invited and I'm jealous of you. And this God over here now, he's given us instruction. He said, here's what I want you to do, and we won't do it. And it makes him jealous. He gets really uptight about that. And so, you know, I didn't make it this way. I'm just a reporter, just reporting to you what he himself said. He said, listen to this. He says, "Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land." You know, unless you go out and get a birth certificate for your children and pass your seed through the fire to Moloch and go a-whoring after their gods to do sacrifice unto their gods and collect your Social Security benefits instead of strict liability, you want to practice limited liability. And, you know, what goes around comes around. Now, we've made up our minds here in this country, and I'm sure that you Australians have made up your minds where you're at, in New Zealand, and Canada, and Western Europe. Us, you know, the people, the Israelite people, the people that are descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we've made up our minds. By God, we're not going to practice the law of this God. So I thought I would report on that and say, well, okay. But if we don't now, there's going to be some consequences that come from this. So I thought, well, in this last program, we ought to take a look here at the consequences, the punishments. And that's in chapter 100. Chapter 100 of the Mosaic Law Book. Remember I told you it's about 500 pages. And we get up here to P, punishment. It happens to be number 100 out of 133. And here's what this God says I'm going to do to you if you tick me off. Now, he has 24 crimes here that demand the death penalty. And you're probably sitting out there saying, well, but the sweet Jesus that I go to church and worship every week, he wouldn't do such a bad, wicked, terrible, awful thing like that to me because I'm a good, little boy and girl. Well, I'm not so sure that you're as good as you think you are. Maybe I just thought I'd run through a couple, three of these with you here, and let's take a look at it. We have a law here that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you remember that? It's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, profaning the Sabbath day is a capital felony. I don't know if you understand that or not, because the average guy thinks about the Sabbath day as going to church on Sunday. And if I don't go to church, that's bad. And so we Americans, you know, we 65% of us now go to church every Sunday. And we think that we're keeping the Sabbath by going to church every Sunday. That's not Sabbath keeping. And Sunday isn't the Sabbath day. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the law says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't remember Sunday or Wednesday. So you got church on Wednesday. Now, let me tell you a little story here. We are instructed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Sabbath. That's true. So going to church is a part of one of seven indici. There are seven elements to keeping the Sabbath day. If you want to get these down, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade or do business. You can't buy, sell, trade, or do business on the Sabbath day. That's four of them. You can't kindle a fire. You can't work. And you can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So a lot of you people, you take your time and you go to church and you keep number seven of the seven. But when you get out of church, then you go down to the restaurant to have lunch. And so you're buying there. And you people down at the restaurant are selling there. And even if you wanted to get by the buying and selling, you can't trade there. And it's against the law to do business on the Sabbath. And the guy in the restaurant has to kindle a fire to cook your dinner. And the waiters and waitresses all have to work. And there's a specific statute that says that your servants cannot work on the Sabbath day. Now, you did go to church, but then you violated the other six provisions. So I just wanted to point out here that just going to church on Sunday is not keeping the Sabbath. Now let's take a look at the day of the week. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Now go to your calendar and look at the first day of the week is Sunday. The second is Monday. The third is Tuesday. The fourth is Wednesday. The fifth is Thursday. The sixth is Friday. And the seventh day is Saturday. Saturday. And we're to keep the Sabbath from sundown to sundown. From even until even shall you keep your Sabbaths. All right? Got that? Now, boys and girls, this is a capital felony. It carries the death penalty if you don't keep the Sabbath. All right, now let's ask ourselves, how many people in America are keeping the Sabbath? There are a few. I don't deny it. I do my best to keep the Sabbath. I do it on Saturday. And I don't work. I don't buy, sell, or trade. And I'm not doing business, kindling a fire, or working on Saturday. And so I work pretty hard at it. I wouldn't call myself righteous. I would suggest that I'm probably doing just the bare minimum. Not doing anything extra. God forbid that I'd go an extra mile and do something special or do something extra for God. No, that's just not in the human character. But I am doing my best to do the exact bare minimum. Just exactly enough to get by. Nothing extra. All right. Now, let's assume for the sake of our discussion here that I do just exactly enough to get by. Keeps me from getting killed. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear then? What about the rest of you guys out there that are buying, selling, trading, working, going down to the mall and just having a good time on Saturday afternoon. Now, where's that going to lead you? Just wanted to bring it to your attention, because Mayor Nagin down in New Orleans, in a rare moment of inner reflection, said publicly, he said, "It almost persuades me, or it almost reminds me, that God Himself has done this to us." Now, that's politically incorrect. You can't make statements like that publicly. You can think it privately, you politicians, but you can't make statements like that. So anyway, the next day he retracted his statement, and he said he was sorry and blah, blah, blah. Apologized to all the Christians. Now listen, let me tell all you people down there in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast down there. Did you think that catastrophe called Katrina happened to you just by happenstance, by random chance, just occurred by the shake of the dice? Mull it over a little bit. You had a 7-day warning period. You people, a lot of you down there, were praying mightily to Jesus. 23rd largest city in the country is destroyed. You know, I didn't get New York or Chicago. That I guess he's saving for a later day. But I just wanted to point out to you. I mean, that was a real wake up call. And I think based upon what I see in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, that Katrina has God's fingerprints all over it. I mean, if you talk about a crime scene now, where you've got incriminating and inculpatory evidence all over the place down there, if that doesn't have God's fingerprints on it, I'd like to know what does. So I wanted to point out in this last program, in this series over here, that this guy says that he's jealous. He says, "Now I told you, here's what I want you to do, and you guys ain't doing it." Now the penalty for Sabbath breaking isn't Hurricane Katrina. That's not the penalty for it. The penalty for Sabbath breaking is national captivity. That's why I've said the United States of America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, you're all going into national captivity. And you Aussies down there and you New Zealanders, take a look to the north. The only thing that keeps the Chinese off of your lunch counter is the American nuclear umbrella. That's the only reason that you people live there in relative peace and prosperity. And the American nuclear umbrella is being dismantled and destroyed. And when that happens, boys and girls out there in the South Atlantic, you people are history, a footnote to history. Now wake up and smell the coffee. Now, you Canadians, we Americans down here have taken god-awful advantage of you people up there. I am ashamed at the bad way that we have treated you Canadians, brothers and all, Israelites, fellow Israelites. But hey, listen, you know, Canadians, you Canucks up there, you people don't practice the Sabbath either. And national captivity is the penalty that comes from it. So when we go into national captivity down here in the South, boys and girls up north, you 30 million Canadians up there, do you know what keeps the Russians and the Chinese off of your lunch counter? It's the American nuclear umbrella. Hey, you Europeans over there, you French, you Hollanders, how long do you think you Frenchmen and you people in Holland and Luxembourg and Poland and Czechoslovakia, how long do you think you're going to keep that Russian bear at bay without the American nuclear umbrella? You know, you people over there give us the finger constantly. I just wanted to remind you, you know, just a reminder over here that when America goes, you go with us. When America catches cold, the rest of you guys are going to get pneumonia. And we're sick unto death over here. Now, the Americans think that Barack Obama is going to save the day with the Democratic Party. And I've got to tell you, kids, there's a statute that warns us and says, you shall not set a stranger over you. And we have elected a stranger to rule over us. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to come to a no good end. A God who is jealous to start with tells you, don't elect a stranger to rule over you. Now, I can understand all you black people out there being real happy. But I want to tell all you white people out there, you broke a law here. You can't do that and get away with it. There's going to be payback for that. And remember, this God over here says, I'm a jealous God now, and I'm going to come unhinged. So I just thought I'd make a report to you and tell you that, you know, murder's bad, and I don't deny that. And kidnapping is bad, and I don't deny that. But let's take a look at another national crime that carries the death penalty. It's in Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. It's called abortion. Now, here in America, we have about half the people in America that call themselves right to life. That's right to life. They're the anti-abortion folks. About one half of America sits on the other side of the fence and says, we think that we have a woman's right to choose. So we call it the right to choose. So a woman gets pregnant and she says, I've got a right to choose whether or not I'm going to have this baby or not. And government comes in and says, yep, we're going to guarantee you that right. Well, I want to make a report to you, and this isn't going to be very popular for all you right to choose ladies out there, but you don't have a right to choose. You made that choice when you went to bed with that guy. That's when you made your choice. And it's right, you do have a right to choose. But after you got pregnant, you don't have a right to choose. And there's a statute here in the scripture that prohibits that termination of that pregnancy. I'd hate to be the guy that comes in and gives you the bad news. Now, you people over there have the Congress working on your side. I don't deny it. No. And you got the president on your side. And you can certainly have an abortion any day of the week. Probably paid for by the taxpayers. And I don't deny it. But if you people believe that you can do that without a penalty, without any side effects, I think that that's going to lead to a no-good end. I don't believe that for a minute. So I thought I would report to you that here in America, about half the people of America are practicing this right to choose or support it. And this God, this guy this that I'm reporting on now, this isn't the average run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpack God now. This guy over here goes postal, goes ballistic, tells you very plainly he's jealous and he ain't very kind and he ain't very gentle. Nice guy, though. Great sense of humor. You know, and he's got a lot of good qualities and good points to him. But there's a couple things over here that I think all of us ought to be alerted to, and that is that he ain't going to take this crap forever. There's a limit. Now, I don't know where the limit's at. If I was this God, you guys would all be toast because I don't have that much patience, and I wouldn't wait. But this guy says, you know, I'm long-suffering, and I'm very patient. But the history behind this, you know, taking a look at Sodom and Gomorrah and taking a look at Noah's flood and taking a look at the Egyptian army and taking a look at Hurricane Katrina, you know, there's limits to this guy. Now, that I'm suggesting here. Now, I don't want you guys that are right to life guys to think that you're off the hook here, because the other half of the Americans believe in this right to life. But they all go out and get birth certificates for their children, which is called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. you've made a contract with the United States of America or Florida, Texas, or California to give your child to the state. Oh, let me tell you, that's going to come to a bad end. That's a capital felony. So whether you're on the right to life side or you're on the right to choose side, you people are practicing birth certificates. You're practicing marriage with marriage licenses. You're committing capital felonies here. I don't think you can do a capital felony over here without paying a capital penalty. I don't believe it. Now, I'm going to sit on the sidelines and watch all of you people as you carry this out. But I'll tell you, I think if it was me, I think we need to make some real meaningful changes here in this country. I mean, if we want to prevent the disaster, this Great Depression, national captivity, defeat at the hands of a foreign military force, I think if we want to get beyond that, get past that, I think we better get back to doing those things that made us great and protected us and gave us the benefits that we all enjoy. Now, there was a time in America when we did not pass our seed through the fire to Moloch. We didn't have birth certificates. And there was a time in America when we didn't practice abortion on demand. Now, it isn't just those two crimes there that's going to do us in. The Sabbath thing over here is going to do us in. Now, I'll tell you a little something about the Sabbath. When I was a kid, America practiced the Sabbath. There was a time in America, let me tell you, there was a time in America when the world stopped on Saturday night. And you could not buy a tank of gas on Sunday. You could not buy a meal in a restaurant on Sunday. You could not work on Sunday. Now, you can sit there and argue, well, Sunday isn't the Sabbath. That's true. And our Congress and our blue laws set Sunday as the Sabbath. I had the wrong day of the week, but by God, you didn't work and you didn't buy, sell, or trade on the Sabbath. Not in America. And that wasn't too long ago. No, I'm an old man now, but you know, 1950, 1940, 1930. We practiced the Sabbath here. And we won World War II. Did you notice that? And our enemies came at us one way, and they fled before us seven ways. And our God protected us. Now, if you've been taking a look at the wars that we've been fighting over the last 30, 40 years, have you noticed that the world's number one military power isn't doing near as well in Iraq? Against a bunch of sand jockeys out there as we did against the Germans, a modern technological military force. I mean, hell, we did the Germans and Japs in short order. Hey, the Muslims over there ain't near as easy as we thought they're going to be now. Did you notice that? And I want to tell you that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ain't over there fighting with us either. In fact, I kind of suspect he might be fighting against us. And when this God comes against us full force, you know, we're going to smart for that. So I just thought I'd point out, now there's a couple of big crimes over here that most Americans are guilty of. You know, we got 300 million people in this country, and this 300 million people are Sabbath breaking, and we're practicing abortion. We're practicing two big, bad capital felonies. Now, let me give you a reminder here at the midway point, and we'll come back and take a look at another law or two that we're violating. And there's a no good end coming from. But in the meantime, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate. We should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let's take a look at another particular law over here. Remember, the Sabbath day, that's number 11, and abortion number 5 are capital felonies. And that can get us in a lot of trouble. National captivity is the penalty for Sabbath breaking. And death is the penalty for this thing of abortion. Now, getting killed ain't too pleasant, and national captivity is not very pleasant. And you Germans and Japanese people, now you've been through that, you know, not in recent times, but it's humiliating, and it's degrading, and it's not pleasant, and it's not fun. Now, there's another thing over here that's going to get us into a lot of trouble. That's usury. Usury, which is a theft crime, is an anomaly in law. And in Ezekiel 18, verses 5 through 14, it's identified as a capital felony. Shall he that practices usury live? He shall not live. Now, let's take a look at our usury over here. How many of you people out there have a mortgage on your house and you're paying interest to the bank? Well, that's called usury when you're paying interest. How many of you have an automobile loan and you're paying interest on your car payment? Okay, well, that's usury. That's interest. It's against the law to do that. It's against the law to charge it, and it's against the law to pay it. So if you're making your payments every month, then you're in violation of that usury statute. And that word usury appears in the Bible now 23 times. So if you had a concordance and you looked it up, you'd find 23 places. And you'll find it mentioned in Ezekiel 18, verses 5 through 14. A little story there. And it identifies usury as one of those crimes that's punishable by death. Now, when God speaks, he likes to be heard. I mean, he's just like my dad. You know, when my dad spoke to me, he wanted me to hear him. And when I tuned him out and I didn't pay attention, he used to use a term to me. He would say, "But you were told. You were told." And I knew that when he used that phrase and he said, "But you were told, you knew better," I knew it was going to hurt real bad. That was going to be bad. In other cases, when he would speak to me, he would say, "You should have known better. Your common sense should have told you better than that." Now, that told me that there was every reason to believe that he wasn't going to whip me, because I'd probably been punished enough just by my stupidity. But when my dad gave me an instruction and said, "Don't do that," or "Do this," then he would use the phrase, "But you knew. You were told." Now, boys and girls, we've been told. Now, maybe your preacher's not telling you. And maybe your government officials have been lying to you. And maybe your bankers and your social workers and others have been deceiving you. That's probably the case. I don't deny that. But there are more Bibles here in this country than there are people, and they're written in English. And you people have all had an opportunity to read yours, whether you have or not. And so when you come forward here and you say, "Well, I didn't know. I went to church every Sunday, and I didn't know." Now, Bill Clinton, now, you know, he knew or should have known that his activities there with Monica were wrong. He probably couldn't turn to the chapter and verse. He probably couldn't identify the exact statute in the Bible. But I'm pretty sure that he knew that that wasn't kosher. And I'm pretty sure that most of you listening to me right now know what's kosher and what isn't. You know, just common sense ought to tell you half of it. And a little instruction here and there should have told you the other half. And you had the scriptures in front of you. I mean, you've had if you didn't read it, it was your choice. You didn't have to. And nobody made you. And God didn't come down and punish you because you didn't read the Bible this week. But it was there. You knew or you should have known. This is a legal term. You know, they'll tell you that. And the judge will say, "Well, you knew or you should have known. And therefore, you're responsible for your actions." And so, at this juncture of time, you know, we're responsible for these birth certificates, and we're responsible for this Sabbath breaking. And it's time to stop doing that. Now, if you think Barack Obama is going to save you from Sabbath breaking and from abortion, I don't think so. Now, you can test it and see if that's going to work all right, but I don't think so. If you think that usury and interest over here, very common, I mean, everybody's doing it. You know, you can sit there and say, "Yeah, but everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going to get punished right along with you." Hell, everybody down in New Orleans got punished. When the floodwaters came up, you know, they reached a level and everybody's house got flooded. All the Sabbath breakers down there in New Orleans, all the people in New Orleans were practicing usury. All those people down there were practicing abortion. All you people in New Orleans are guilty of these three capital felonies, but only 1,000 of you actually got killed. So only 1,000 of you died. And then I had a guy tell me that they were expecting 50,000 people to get killed when that big hurricane struck. Now, you people out in California, you know, you're waiting for the big one, you know, the big earthquake. And it's coming. And you all know it's coming. Now, there is a God in heaven that can prevent that earthquake from occurring. There is a God in heaven that could prevent that hurricane from occurring. And he said, "I'll give you rain in due season if you do what I tell you." And he said, "I'm going to give you rain out of season if you don't." I mean, you know, you've been told. So when this calamity comes upon you, you know, don't stand up and say, "I didn't know. I was just ignorant." See, that's what the bankers are telling you now. "Well, we didn't know. Well, who could have foreseen such a thing?" You know, we've been telling you people out there, there's an economic consequence coming from this deficit spending. You can't use unjust weights and balances and usury and interest and debt. There's coming a Great Depression as a result of it. Now, we're all going to suffer through this Great Depression. The solution to the Great Depression is to abolish the Federal Reserve, practice a jubilee, and eliminate all debt. Wipe out all paper money and go back to just weights and balances, gold and silver. That's what we did in 1787. And it took just 3 years to come out of the depression from 1783, the collapse of the continental currency. Now, that's the correct solution. That's the biblical, God-ordained solution. Let's go back and practice the Ten Commandment economic model. Now, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to go back to gold and silver and abolish the Federal Reserve and the banks and stop paying usury and interest. Now, we're going to continue on with our credit cards and with our checks and with our banks and with our bailouts, business as usual. All right. Now, there's going to be a consequence that comes from that. And you need to remember that this God told you plainly, says, now I'm a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the fathers to the sons, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, this hatred that we have for this God knows no bounds. I mean, we hate this guy with a purple passion. I'm not exactly sure why we hate this God the way we do, but boy, do we hate him, as evidenced by our behavior, as evidenced by our usury, by our abortion, and by our Sabbath breaking. And that's just three. Now, I went through 82 with you already. We're in violation of 82 laws. But those three have disastrous consequences, God-awful consequences, national captivity at the hands of a foreign military force. That's not good. All right, now listen to this. In chapter 7, this is Deuteronomy chapter 7, it starts in verse 9, 10, and 11, these three verses. Listen to this. Here's how God is going to deal with his enemies. Face to face. He says, know therefore that the Eternal your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Well, that's quite a statement. You know, the world has not been here for a thousand generations. A generation is 40 years. The time frame from Moses to today is 84 generations. 84. That's going back 3,300 years. And he says, I will keep my covenant with you for a thousand generations. And I'm gonna love him that keep my commandments. You know, like thou shalt not forget the Sabbath day and don't practice usury and interest and thou shalt not steal. All right. Now in verse 10 he says, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him, and he will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Now, pretty stark terms here. You guys want to practice abortion? You want to practice birth certificates? You want to pass your seed through the fire to Moloch and give them to the state? You want to practice abortion on demand, do you? Okay. You're my enemy, and I'm going to pay you to your face, live and direct. Now, on the other hand, you know, we could make some meaningful change. I mean, you could rescind your birth certificate. You could rescind the birth certificates of your children. That would be a step in the right direction. You could start keeping the Sabbath. I mean, hell, if you Catholics, honest to God, believe that the Sabbath day is on Sunday, you could probably, I mean, we did it for over 100 years, you could probably go back to practicing the Sabbath on Sunday, the wrong day, and get away with that. It would be a step in the right direction. I mean, if you people would stay out of the malls and stop buying, selling, and trading and making a mockery of the Sabbath and then go to church on Sunday, you know, you might, I'm not saying that you will, But you might, you know, be able to pull some fat out of the fire by doing that. I mean, we did it in World War II. America has never kept the Sabbath day on Saturday. And I'm not advocating that you keep it on Sunday. But I'm telling you that this thing of Walmart staying open 24/7, along with your gambling casinos and your 7-Eleven stores and so on, you know, that isn't going to fly, no. And, you know, if you people would quit shopping at 3 o'clock in the morning on the Sabbath, those stores would close on the Sabbath in their own self-interest. I mean, they're not stupid people. It's the people who go in there and buy on the Sabbath that keep those stores open on the Sabbath. Now, here's some good news. Let's suppose that you're here all by yourself, you know, and you're just Joe Sixpack, and you're the only guy in Ozark County that wants to practice this law. That's fine. That's all necessary. We're only concerned about you. When all of these calamities occur, they will occur to everybody else in Ozark County except the guy that's practicing the Ten Commandments. So if you practice this law, it won't happen to you. God will protect you. That's what he did to Lot. That was the purpose for the exercise with Abraham when he said, well, I'm going over to Sodom and Gomorrah and nuke them. Abraham said, what if there's 50 righteous? He says, if there's 50 righteous, I wouldn't destroy the place for the sake of the whole 50. If there had been 50 righteous people out of 100,000 in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't have destroyed the place for the sake of those 50. Got better than that. He got it down to 10. 100,000 people lived in those five cities on the plain. They call them the five cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were the two biggest. And if we extrapolated that today, you know, this God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. Well, then we could expect the same thing today. Here in America, if there were 30,000 righteous men and women, 30,000 in a nation of 300 million, he would not destroy America for the sake of the 30,000. Did you know that? Do the arithmetic. There's 300 million people here. He said for 10 out of 100,000, just extrapolate that out, that's 30,000 out of 300 million. He said, I won't destroy the United States of America. Now, there was a story came out, it's about, well, I think it's in 1 Kings about chapter 18. Elijah was bummed out one day, and he said, you know, I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law, and they seek my life. The government was trying to kill him, the government authorities. Yeah, yep, it was the government. They were after Elijah, the last man in Israel who was practicing the Ten Commandments. And he complained to Michael the archangel, Big Mike. And Big Mike said, oh, no, Elijah, no, you got that wrong. You are not the only man in Israel that's practicing this law. He said, I have reserved 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Well, boys and girls, I would suggest to you that here in America, there probably is 7,000. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised that down in Australia there's 7,000 of you Aussies that have not bowed your knee to Baal. And in New Zealand, I imagine some of you New Zealanders, there's 3 million of you down there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but what, you might have 7,000 in New Zealand out of 3 million. You might have 7,000 in Australia out of 20 or 30 million. Hell, you Canadians, you might have 7,000. And then there's a little doubt in my mind that there's 7,000 here in the United States. But boys and girls, 7,000 is not enough to carry the day. 30,000 might. Now, out of these three laws, let's try abortion and birth certificates. Let's try usury and interest. And then let's try the Sabbath day. Out of those three laws, three capital felonies, do you, honest to God, believe that in the United States of America there's 30,000 people that are practicing those three laws? Well, I'd be hard-pressed to find 30,000, I think. I'd be hard-pressed to find 7,000, but I saw in the scripture that there was at least one time in history when Big Mike said, I've reserved 7,000, I haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Now, there's a bunch of people here spoken of in the scripture, like 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe. You'll see that in Revelation. Now, you know, I'm not sure that 144,000 worldwide is going to carry the day. I think we're going to go through this great tribulation. I think this monetary collapse is part and parcel with it. And that maybe some of us better start waking up and smelling some coffee here, don't you think? Rub the sleep out of your eyes and let's start paying attention. If you want to know why this God is so upset, it's because we've been giving him the finger. Now, you know, it's one thing, you know, to fail to perform to the standards that are expected of you. It's something else, again, to go out of your way to rile up the old man. Now, I never did give my dad the finger. I cannot imagine what would have happened if I had given my dad the finger. You know, figuratively speaking, you know, when he told me to mow the grass, take out the garbage, and make my bed, and I didn't do it, I was giving him the finger. But I never physically stuck my middle finger up under his nose and told him to stick it where there's no daylight. But that's exactly what we're doing here in the United States. Now, you people out there, you know that these three crimes over here are going on. I mean, you know, I don't know how many millions of fetuses, how many millions of people that we've killed here in the United States, but you know it's millions and millions and millions. And I think that even you people out there with your right to choose know that that's not right. It may be right under your Constitution, and it may be right because you've got the right people in office. And you may get away with it for a while, but I think anybody that's got a half a wit knows that that violates something, that isn't right. And then you've got 300 million people out here that are on both sides of that issue, and both sides are in violation of that law that says thou shalt not commit abortion. That's Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. I thought I'd pass that one on to you. You got 300 million people practicing this Sabbath breaking. Whether you keep the Sabbath on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, everybody knows we're not keeping the Sabbath there. We're not doing the same Sabbath job that we were in 1940, 1930, 1920. And this usury thing over here, you know, we've got usury coming out our ear balls over here. Haven't we been able to figure out that usury is our problem and that it's not our solution? That debt is our problem, it's not our solution? That these Federal Reserve notes and mortgages are our problem, that they're not the solution? I mean, do you have to go to college and get a degree in economics to figure that out? No, I just picked out three. I mean, I could have picked out 13. I could have picked out 23. I've showed you 82 laws here that your government is encouraging you to violate. And those laws now are coming back. We're violating so many of these laws so often that we're getting the natural penalties that come from it. And now we're about to get a second factor. We're about to get the God of heaven himself working against us. That's coming to a no-good end. Hey, I'm out of time again here. Kids, we're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. This law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. It says our time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.